From the rail to your radio, this is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
California Chrome with Espinosa going for the whip is still in front. Harrogate trying his heart out. California Chrome from Harrogate, a pulsating climax to the classic. Harrogate takes the lead and wins. Harrogate beat California Chrome.
Nyquist and Exaggerator, they're coming to the line together. And Nyquist is still unbeaten. He has won the Kentucky Derby.
Originating from our Jimmy Johns of Lexington studios, welcome to the Equine Forum.
Classic Empire to the 16th, about a length and a half. Not this time, is gradually wearing him down. Classic Empire, not this time. Classic Empire, Classic Empire by a neck, not this time. They finished a straight in front of the rest.
It is Exaggerator's break. No, Nyquist switches back to the outside. Exaggerator, down to the 16th pole. The Gutty Nyquist is coming out of it second. And then Stradivari, followed by Cherry Wine. But Exaggerator has turned the tables. He has won the Preakness.
Now, here's Mike Penna and Jude Feld.
Good morning once again, everyone, and welcome to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network as we barrel inside 1 month until the Run for the Roses. That's right, 28 days, 10 hours, 32 minutes, and 34 seconds away from that first Saturday in May. And if you can't get Derby fever this weekend, well, you're probably not going to get it. Think about this. Three tracks, 14 graded stakes, and three critical Derby prep races. And we are going to discuss all of them in depth here over the course of the next 2 hours for you on the Horse Racing Radio Network. We've got buyers. We've got brisk speed figures, late pace numbers, mid pace numbers, early pace numbers. Heck, we'll even tell you which tractor is doing best when they harrow the racetracks at each of those three venues later today. Going to be a huge, huge show. If you can't tell, I'm a little fired up. I'm Mike Penna, Jude Feld, Pontiff of the Pick Four, here in our Jimmy Johns of Lexington broadcast studios. JT, good morning, my friend.
Good morning. Don't promise anything that you can't deliver.
I have been studying these tractors. I've been keeping notes, right, and charting the tractors. I can tell you exactly which track. I can tell you if there's a bias, a track bias, when the tractors come out and harrow the track.
No. How was your short bus ride to the studio this morning?
Can you I'm a little giddy today. Can you tell? All you have to do is throw three Derby prep races on the docket, and I get a little excited.
Yeah, well, it's going to be a fun day. Yesterday, opening day at Keeneland, magnificent day, beautiful weather. And it was just a really nice crowd and a fantastic day of racing. A little chalky, but hey, that happens. And then today we followed up with another fantastic card at Keeneland. We got races in California, New York, at a fever pitch now. It's put up or shut up time for the Derby horses, and we're going to have a lot of sorting out this weekend.
Yeah, we really are. And we do want to make sure that we welcome everybody tuning in throughout North America on Sirius 219 XM 206. Keep in mind, those are the new channels that you can find us every Saturday morning here on the Equine Forum, Sirius 219 XM 206. Of course, right here in Lexington on Hank 96.1, ESPN 680 in the Louisville market, and streaming worldwide at horseracingradio.net. Happy to have you with us on the program. Very busy show coming up. We're going to cover all three of those prep races, the Wood Memorial in New York, the Bluegrass Stakes here at Keeneland, and the Santa Anita Derby out on the West Coast. We're going to visit with some of the major players in each of those races, including trainer Doug O'Neill, who sat down and talked with Jude a couple of days ago. You'll hear that interview coming up shortly. Ian Wilkes, who sends out what many people believe to be the leading Kentucky Derby contender at this point in McCracken. He goes postward right here in Lexington in the Bluegrass. And then Rajiv Miraj, who is a tremendous story. Jockey Rajiv Miraj, still on that comeback trail, so to speak, looking to get back onto the big stage. Well, he's done it today. He will be in the Wood Memorial riding for Grand Motion aboard Irish War Cry. So all three of those guests coming up in the first hour. And then second hour, Michael Hernan from Gainesway, John Gasper, Steve Castagnola. They'll be in studio with us to handicap all the big graded stakes, and we'll take a look as many of those as we possibly can in that second hour of the show.
Well,
how about that?
That's good. Less talking for us.
Well, we're going to do plenty of talking this afternoon.
Yes, we are. Yes, we are. We got a big show. This really big show.
Really big show. Yeah. 5:30 Eastern. By the way, you can tune in to that show here in Lexington, in Louisville, and nationwide. Sirius Channel 113 is our home this afternoon for all of the coverage of the Bluegrass, the Wood, Santa Anita Derby. That's Sirius 113. And right there on our website, you can stream us on your computer, smartphone, mobile device. Take us with you. Bluetooth us in your car, whatever you have to do. But make sure you do that 5:30 Eastern time this afternoon. Jude, let's talk. We have a couple of minutes here before we have to get to the first break. Let's quickly run through some of the contenders in these races. Let's start here in the at Keeneland. We're going to have seven horses that were entered on Tuesday for the Bluegrass. I mentioned McCracken. He's the big story. But boy, he gets a great showdown with Taprit and J-Boy's Echo, and throw a Practical Joke into the mix. That's a really good field.
Yeah, it is. It's a short field, but a good field. And I even had somebody make a case for IRAP. So
yeah, for Doug.
And, you know, you got Rusty Arnold's got Wild Shot in there for Calumet, and It's Your Nickel's been training good. So it's a very deep field. You wouldn't be shocked if anybody in the field won it, but it is McCracken's race to lose, I think. He's been training superbly. I've been out in the mornings and watching him go, and looks just outstanding. Son of Ghost Zapper, not a thing not to like about him. He's won four straight, and Ian Wilkes seems to be very high on him.
Well, the Bluegrass has produced 23 Kentucky Derby winners. The last horse to win both the Bluegrass and the Derby, well, you have to go back to 1991 and the Nick Zito trained Strike the Gold. So it has been a while since the Bluegrass winner has worn the roses in Louisville a few weeks later. All right, at Aqueduct, the Wooden Memorial, eight horses were entered. You had Battalion Runner, who is the 2-1 morning line favorite. Interesting, he comes in for Todd Pletcher. Johnny V is aboard, makes his stakes debut, but he's very talented. He's 2-for-3 lifetime. Cloud Computing, second choice, Irish War Cry, and then there's Motown. Both Irish War Cry, Motown, looking to rebound.
Yeah, they're kind of up against it. I mean, Irish War Cry ran horribly in his last start. He's going to have to make a huge turnaround. He hasn't exactly been lighting the world on fire in the morning. Motown, very disappointing in the Risen Star. He's another one. He hasn't really impressed the clockers much. So I was looking elsewhere for a winner in there. Interesting horse is Cloud Computing, on the rise, obviously, for Chad Brown. He's got some more improvement in him, I think. He looks pretty tough. Battalion Runner, you can never count Pletcher out of these prep races. He wins a lot of them, and must be considered. An interesting horse, though, is Stretch's Stone, who's a New York bred that was a late Triple Crown nominee. He's run some pretty eye-catching numbers, 96 and a 95 Brisnet Speed Figures in his last two starts, and they put up $6,000 to get him in the Triple Crown. He blew out really fast, 47-4. Interesting horse at a big price.
20 Derby winners have come through the Wood Memorial, and the last horse to win both the Wood and the Derby, well, that's been a while, too. You have to go back to Fusaichi Pegasus in 2000, the last to pull off that feat. Not so at Santa Anita, where that's been a much more productive prep race in recent years. The Grade 1 Santa Anita Derby, 13 horses entered this past Wednesday. That is the largest Santa Anita Derby field since 1981. And, Jude, you can look at a few different trainers and cover most of the field. That's Doug O'Neill, Bob Baffert, and John Sherris.
Yeah, we sat down with Doug and talked to him. He's got four in. Baffert, he's a guy you can never count out of the Santa Anita Derby. And John Sherris, John's got a couple of horses that look like they were going to be super, super tough come the first Saturday in May. They've had a couple of hiccups along the way, but they could easily rebound in here. So it's an interesting race, and pretty wide open, I think.
All right, we'll talk more about each of those races as we move throughout the show here this morning. We're with you right up until 10 o'clock Eastern time. Let's go ahead and throw out the poll question for this morning. We're going to keep it pretty simple. With those three major Derby preps and so many big names racing in those events later today, the poll question, you can weigh in on our Twitter feed, at HRRN, is this. Are we going to see the Kentucky Derby winner racing this afternoon? Will the Kentucky Derby winner be racing in one of those prep races this afternoon? Yes or no? And if you vote yes, you have to let us know which horse is going to be the Derby winner less than a month from today. That's it. Pretty simple. At HRN on Twitter, Horse Racing Radio Network on Facebook. We're going to take our first break. When we come back, It's Doug O'Neill. You'll hear that entire interview. Don't miss it. Stay with us. This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
The Kentucky Derby runs here.
And Nyquist is still unbeaten. He has won the Kentucky Derby.
We're proud to be your home for the 143rd Kentucky Derby, Saturday, May 6th, only on HRRN.
Adina Spring Stallion Point of Entry, boasting 5 Grade 1 victories, more than any other first crop stallion.
Oh, the classy Point of Entry would not be denied.
Point of Entry scores to win the Man of War by 4 lengths.
Point of Entry has defeated Animal Kingdom.
And here comes Point of Entry, who's running to daylight.
And Point of Entry will go to the Breeders' Cup on a 5-race winning streak.
A son of the great Dynaformer and from a remarkable female family, Point of Entry's first 4 dams are Grade 1 winners and or Grade 1 producers. His progeny are the subject of excellent reports from the U.S., England, and Japan, with his first crop 2-year-olds recording the fastest breeze times of any first crop stallion and selling for an average of over $358,000. The heir to Dynaformer and the next global sire is Point of Entry, standing at Adina Springs. Visit adinastallions.com.
Bloom Racing.
Majestic City could also still do it, and here he comes.
Majestic City running a big one.
Started by former jockey and 35-year racing industry veteran Jeffrey Bloom, Bloom Racing offers racing partnerships, bloodstock services, pinhooking, and private race management.
Soul Driver the leader, though. Soul Driver in front.
Experience the fun, excitement, and exclusive access of racehorse ownership with Bloom Racing. Forming racing partnerships now. Get in on the action at bloomracing.com.
I'm here with Joe Brown Nicholson of Nicholson Insurance Agency. Joe, how do you value a horse for insurance?
Well, Mike, it's easy to value a horse when purchased out of a public auction. The insured value would simply be the auction price. But insuring homebreds can be a little more involved.
How so?
Well, factors such as a stud fee, confirmation, pedigree, sales and race records of siblings, even popularity of the stallion, all come into play.
How closely do you work with owners in determining a horse's value?
Well, the owner has a pretty good idea of the horse's value, so generally it's just a matter of agreeing to the request and having the policy issued.
For all your equine and general insurance needs, including farm owners, liability, homeowners, auto, and more, contact Joe Brown Nicholson at NicholsonInsurance.com or call 859-224-7080. That's 859-224-7080. Nicholson Insurance Agency.
Protect your horse and perform your best with Flair Equine Nasal Strips. Flair strips are drug-free, self-adhesive nasal strips that are proven to reduce bleeding and provide benefits for horses at all levels. Designed by equine veterinarians and constructed from FDA-approved human medical-grade materials, Flair strips are used around the globe and are scientifically proven to make breathing easier, reduce fatigue, reduce lung bleeding, and help horses recover quicker. Visit FlairStrips.com to learn more or to find a dealer near you. Flair Equine Nasal Strips. Prevent, protect, perform.
Have you been looking for high quality, consistent, and palatable hay, along with a company that offers personal service and attention? Well, your search is over. Washington Hay Company has been feeding your dream for more than 25 years with only the highest quality hay. Their three-tie red, white, and blue string certifies their hay is grown in Washington State's Ellensburg Valley. And with delivery to Keeneland, Churchill Downs, and farms in central Kentucky, Washington Hay Company is feeding your dream. Call Brad Green at 859-588-5480.
Hi, this is jockey Emma Jane Wilson, and you're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
As they come to the top of the lane, still the long shot, Feisty Sue answers. Pioneer of the Nile is right there. Chocolate Candy on the outside. Take the points behind that. Gallant Sun in with a shot. Homeward-bound in the Derby. Pioneer of the Nile gets the lead. Going to be tackled now by Chocolate Candy down the center. But Pioneer of the Nile goes on. Chocolate Candy chasing gaily from second. Pioneer of the Nile fully stretched but keeping Chocolate Candy at bay. And Pioneer of the Nile and Garrett Gomez have won the Santa Anita Derby. Chocolate Candy second.
Trevor Denman with the call of that 2009 Santa Anita Derby. Pioneer of the Nile for Hall of Fame trainer Bob Baffert and the late jockey Garrett Gomez getting the victory That afternoon, it was one of seven Santa Anita Derby winners saddled by Bob Baffert. He has three horses in this afternoon's running. Keep in mind, his first came back in 1996 with a horse by the name of Cavaneer. His most recent, 2015, with Dortmund, and Bob Baffert holding another solid hand in this year's Santa Anita Derby. Who would count him out? Certainly not me. And JT, he has been nothing short of exceptional, as has Doug O'Neill, who, of course, has been on fire, including a win in the Kentucky Derby last year with Nyquist. Nyquist didn't run the Santa Anita Derby. He prepped in the Florida Derby. But this year's field in the Santa Anita Derby, as we talked about a short time ago, very solid, and Doug with four really good chances.
Yeah, he's got a lot of bullets to fire in there. And, of course, last year Nyquist had a million reasons to run in the Florida Derby. So that's where he went.
But, yeah, he did. Well, you had a chance to sit down and talk with Doug earlier this week, and you talked to him about all four of his horses going postward in this afternoon's Santa Anita Derby.
Doug, you've got four entrants in the Santa Anita Derby. Let's go through them. We'll start in post position order, not to offend anybody. Term of Art is number one. You've won two Kentucky Derbies yourself. Calumet Farm has won eight. Did you ever think you'd train for Calumet?
Yeah, really, I couldn't believe it. When I got that call, I think it was last summer, and they asked if I'd be interested in taking a few horses for them. It was just like, wow, that's you got to pinch yourself to be linked to such a tradition of the Calumet Farm. So very exciting, and this colt, God, he acts like we haven't seen the best of him yet, and his numbers continue to get better, and we know he'll stay the mile and eighth and beyond. So we're looking forward to Saturday with him.
Yeah, he certainly has the pedigree and the running style to get a mile and a quarter. This race is a mile and an eighth, and it's pretty deep. I mean, we haven't seen a field this large in a long time. Why can Term of Art win the Santa Anita Derby?
Well, I do think, it's the largest field I think I've read since 1981. And, I think when you get 13 horses lining up going a mile and an eighth, you may get some anxious jockeys and the pace might be kind of too quick, and a horse like Term of Art, he's got that staying power and he's got the class to keep coming. I think it gives him a big chance there. And then just the continuity of Tyler Bayes has really gotten to know him well, and since we pulled the blinkers off, he's a horse that's really coming forward. Being a son of Tiz now doesn't hurt him at all either.
Yeah, I think it's important when you have a closer that the jock knows him, because they know how much they have underneath them and they can time that ride. Number five is So Conflated, and he seemed on the rise when he won the California Derby. Then you took him to New York and he got creamed. What up with that?
I know, that was crazy. We actually went back there with him, and we kept talking about how, God, look how classy this guy is. He never turned a hair. He ate well, but he was really quiet, but we deemed it as class at the time. But he just ran real flat, popped a little bit of a temp the day after the Gotham. So we're chalking that up, that he had something brewing going into the race, and it didn't rear its head till after. But we brought him back here, ran a bunch of tests. He's 100% now. He's put in some good work, got great energy, and he'll be an outsider. But I agree, if you can put a line through the Gotham, after the California Derby, we were pretty darn excited about him. And having the Redham Gutierrez team, involved, I think gives us a lot of hope.
Yeah, those guys never do any good, do they?
They do.
And that's a good tidbit, though. If he was a little sick after the race, that could explain a lot. And he really looked like he was coming into his own. So has he been showing you anything in the morning that gives him a right to compete in the race?
Tons of energy. I mean, absolutely a 180 from while we were in New York with him. I mean, he's coming out of his skin, and he's won on this track here at Santa Anita. So there's a lot of reasons to like him, and he's got that when he's right, he's got that stretch run to him where he'll put his head down and try as hard as he can. So you know, we just got to forgive that Gotham and see what happens Saturday.
Number 9 is Iliad. I mean, what a lovely Christmas present you got from Mr. Shaw.
That was incredible. Yeah, I was actually sitting with Paul and Zilla Redham when I got the call, and I immediately told Paul I didn't know how he would react, and he couldn't have been any cooler or class. You know, Paul is like a big brother to all of us around here, and he was so supportive, and we were so excited. So he hasn't disappointed since the time we've brought him into the barn. Iliad's just been nothing but professional, and coming off that big maiden win at Los Al, we were pretty excited about his San Vicente race, and he didn't disappoint us in there. And then the other day in the San Felipe, you know, not only did Mastery run a huge race, but I think I kind of didn't have him as cranked as I could have. So I think he's going to get a lot out of that effort, and he put in a really nice piece of work for us the other day. So we're excited about Iliad, and then having, you know, Pratt, Mr. Pratt, who's, you know, our top jock out here in Southern California. So having him, the continuity of him knowing the horse, too, is a huge help.
Yeah, well, you know, many of the geniuses said Mastery was the real deal, and a lot of people thought the San Felipe was the best Derby prep this year. Do you rank it that way? Did you think that was maybe the toughest race? I know Baffert said it was the toughest race.
You know, it's hard to tell. I always have a hard time gauging other circuits, but, you know, watching Todd's Colt win the Florida Derby, that was like, wow, that was super impressive. Watching Joe Sharp's horse win there in Louisiana, that was super impressive. So, you know, I think it's really, you could throw a blanket over a dozen of these babies, you know, or three-year-olds, I should say. But that San Felipe was pretty darn impressive, and Mastery definitely would have been the leader of the pack if he would have stayed healthy.
Yeah, that's for sure. Yep. You got the 10, Milton Freewater. It's not who is Milton Freewater. It is where is Milton Freewater. Milton Freewater is in Oregon. Did you know this?
Yeah, I don't really know what is that. I thought it was like,
no,
that
it's a place in Oregon. And when I was looking up a few things for the show, I noticed that this was Mike and Patricia Harrington bred, so I figure it must be someplace they know from their northwestern excursions up there, but. Yeah,
Milton. That would make sense. Milton, so it's a town in Oregon.
Yeah, yeah.
I learned something every day.
There you go. I was glad I can help you out. In case he wins, you can tell this elaborate story about what a beautiful town Milton Freewater is.
Exactly. Never let the truth get away with a good story. I'll make up something. Well, he is doing good here in Arcadia, old Milton Freewater, and he's a horse that, you know, he won his debut like a horse that wanted to go two turns. You could tell with his stride and being by Creative Cause, and here he was winning 4.5 furlongs at Los Al. So we were very impressed by that. And then when we heard he was for sale, my man C. Rothbloom, my brother Dennis, and put together a little group to buy him, and we've been happy ever since. And so we were excited to stretch him out when we finally did in King Glorious, and he ran a really good third to Ann Arbor Eddie and California Diamond at the end of the year. And then he just got a little body sore on us. We had to kick him out, and he came back with a really good prep the other day. And so he's going to be an outsider come Saturday. We thought he deserved a chance at this, and you know, he's got the class, he's got the experience, and we'll see if he's fast enough.
Yeah, he's a trier for sure. He gives his best effort all the time, and he's got some speed. I guess the big question is, can he go the mile in an eighth?
He acts like he can. Very seldom in any of his works do we ever see the bottom of him. So he's got a lot of staying power. And again, you know, his sire, we were fortunate enough to run with him without having other, and we got to see a lot of Creative Cause. And he was a horse that trained with a lot of energy and a lot of stamina on a daily basis. So, you know, we're hoping this guy is a lot like his pops, and we'll, you know, we can be part of the exciting spring classic here in a month or so.
Yeah, he's a Heinz Steinman bred top and bottom. I mean, Heinz didn't breed him, but he's out of a Swiss Yodeler mare. So, you know, the skis are out for
Milton Freewater.
Mountain High, baby.
Hey, Mountain High, baby. Yep. You're out there every morning, and your team, it's like MI6. I mean, you got spies everywhere. We don't want to cause any owner insurrections or anything, but other than your four horses, who's the horse to beat in the Santa Anita Derby?
Well, you know, I think the allowance race, that Battle of Midway, Jerry Hollendorfer, son of Smart Strike, won, and then the horse that ran second, Reached the World of Bob Baffert's. You know, they were well clear of the third place horse. I think either one of those two, you know, being a Tappet colt and a Smart Strike colt, they could jump up and make a big part of it. And then, God, how do you not look at the Sheriffs too? You know, Gormley and Royal Mo, they've got some pretty good races on their books too. So I haven't seen a lot of them train on a daily basis, but I can tell you that the four of ours are all coming into it in good shape, and you know, it does look to be a very evenly matched large field, so it hopefully we get a clean trip and one of our four comes up on top.
All right, good stuff from trainer Doug O'Neill. JT, nice job with that interview, and he did a tremendous job walking you through each of those four horses, and he really made a pretty strong case for all four, didn't he?
Yeah, I mean, he has reasons he's running them, and that's what I was trying to get to in the interview. Why would you run four horses, you know? Do you not know which one's the best one? But I think this race is pretty wide open.
Yeah.
And, you know, he gave a case for each horse and why they could win and what their strengths were. So we'll see what their weaknesses are after the race is over.
Well, Doug has won the race twice. He did it in back-to-back years with I'll Have Another in 2012, who, as we know, went on to win a couple of big races later in the spring, including that Kentucky Derby. And then he came back the following year with Golden Sense to win it in 2013. We'll see if Doug can pull off a third victory later this afternoon. And of course, you'll hear that coverage with us beginning 5:30 Eastern Time, Sirius 113, on affiliates in Lexington and Louisville, and streaming worldwide at horseracingradio.net. It is time now for your Lexus Legends of the Turf segment, brought to you every Saturday by the Lexus Store of Lexington. When we come back, you'll hear from trainer Ian Wilkes, who sends out McCracken in this afternoon's Bluegrass. He'll join us live when we come back right after your Lexus Legends of the Turf.
Going into the month of June 1953, only one thoroughbred in history, Whiskbroom II, had been able to sweep the Handicap Triple Crown, consisting of the Metropolitan, Suburban, and Brooklyn Handicaps. That had occurred in 1913. The reason for the difficulty in accomplishing the feat was the combination of the variance of distances and the unusually high weights asked to be shouldered by the better horses in these events. In May of 1953, Tom Fool, the startlingly handsome Green Tree Stable Standard Bearer, had won the Joe H. Palmer Handicap over 6 furlongs while toting an impost of 130 pounds. Now 4 years old, he had become a horse to be reckoned with at any distance with any impost. In the first leg of the Handicap Triple Crown, the Metropolitan, he toted 130 pounds on an off track over the mile distance. Teddy Atkinson, the gentleman from Canada, who was his regular rider, got Tom Fool to the lead at the top of the stretch and tried to let the son of Meenow coast to the wire for the win. But Royal Vale made a late charge so that Atkinson had to get into Tom Fool, so to speak, to hold on for the score in a time of 1:35.3. In the Suburban at 1 1/4 miles, Tom Fool was the sounded impost of 134 pounds. And only 1 4-year-old colt, that being Assault, had been asked to carry more and win. No one wanted the lead in the Suburban, so Atkinson put Tom Fool out in front and rated him very nicely until the 16th pull, when Royal Vale came flying and got eyeball to eyeball in the charge to the wire. Atkinson on Tom Fool and Jackie Westrop on Royal Vale had to reach back for all their riding skills to get all they could out of their respective mounts. The two gallant thoroughbreds were locked together, matching strides, thundering for the finish in an absolutely marvelous spectacle of sport. Tom Fool stuck his head in front of the wire to chalk up the laurels in the second leg of the Triple Crown. Royal Vale had actually gained a slight advantage with 100 yards to go, but Tom Fool had courageously refused to back down and came on again with pure grit to win it. Only Greylag, Devil Diver, and 830 had won it with a higher impost. In his next start prior to the final leg, the Brooklyn, Tom Fool captured the Carter Handicap under a burdensome 135 pounds.
In the Brooklyn, he was assigned 136 pounds to shoulder for the very testing 12 furlong distance, and not only did he win it, but he won it with authority and then became the first horse in 40 years to accomplish that feat. He then went on to tally four more wins that year in winning the Wilson, the Whitney, the Sisson B Mile, and the Pimlico Special. Tom Fool had a year in 1953 that was indeed a watermark in thoroughbred racing. He had gone postward 10 times, all in handicaps, at distances from sprints to grueling routes, and won them all. Need there be any doubt whatsoever that he was Dub Handicap Horse of the Year, and he was voted champion sprinter, if you can digest that. His composite racing record, 30 starts, 21 wins, 7 seconds, 1 third, 1 fourth. The stamp of greatness is emblazoned with a capital G next to his name, and the story of his capturing the handicap triple in 1953 is truly a great moment in racing.
Lexus. Once driven, there's no going back. Through inspired design, relentless innovation, and uninhibited performance, Lexus continues their pursuit to perfection with not only precisely engineered automobiles, but powerful, profound, and passionate experiences that move you like never before. Hey everyone, Mike Pena here, and extremely proud to say that I am a Lexus owner, or better yet, a member of the Lexus family at the Lexus store of Lexington. I've told you for more than a decade that the people make the difference at the Lexus store, and that is why I am so proud to be their customer and a member of their family. If you're in the horse business, there's no reason to look anywhere else. As the sponsor of the Grade 2 Lexus Raven Run at Keeneland every fall, the team at the Lexus store of Lexington is committed to supporting the horse industry and to being the dealership of the equine industry here in Central Kentucky. See for yourself. Stop in and talk horse racing with the godfather, Tony Attiano, and all the great folks at the Lexus store of Lexington. And I promise you will love your Lexus experience.
You know, it was right about 2 years ago at this time that a new restaurant opened on Main Street, and it's quickly become a favorite for anybody that wants the best steaks and the best seafood. It's Tony's Steaks and Seafood. They were just named one of the best steakhouses in the nation by TastingTable.com, a very big national website. Why don't you give them a visit? It's Tony's Steaks and Seafood on Main Street. TonysSteaksAndSeafood.com.
Pin Oak Stud, home to Broken Vow, sire of 2016 Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Juvenile Fillies winner and Eclipse finalist Champagne Room, as well as other Grade 1 winners like Cotton Blossom, Unbridled Belle, Rosalind, and Sassy Image. Also home to millionaire and multiple graded stakes winner Alternation by Distorted Humor. A six-time stakes winner, including the Peter Pan, Pimlico Special, and Oaklawn Handicap. Alternation was represented by his first yearlings, which sold last year for up to $160,000, over 20 times his stud fee. Broken Vow and Alternation, standing at Pin Oak Stud.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
Power.
But Tapazar is just playing too good today, and it's going to be Tapazar and Garrett Gomez coming home with his ears pricked to win the Sham Stakes.
Passion.
And a big performance from Tapazar and Cory Nakatani as they romp in the San Fernando.
Performance.
And Tapazar, a sterling performance today. Tapazar and Cory Nakatani take the dirt mile.
Gainsway stallion Tapazar is a Grade 1 winning miler by leading sire Tappet from the family of champion Untappable, and is Tappet's only Grade 1 winning miler at stud. Tapazar retired sound with more than $972,000 in earnings following a career in which he broke his maiden by 10 and a half lengths at Churchill Downs at 2, went wire to wire to win the Grade 3 Sham Stakes at 3, and was a runaway winner of the Grade 2 San Fernando and Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Dirt Mile at 4.
Power, passion, performance. You know I'm talking about Gainsway Farm.
Hi, this is Joel Rosario.
Hi, this is Jockey John Cork.
Hi, this is Calvin Burrow. You're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network. This freaky fast performance is brought to you by your Lexington, Kentucky area Jimmy Johns.
And there he goes, McCracken on the outside. He swings to the center of the racetrack, and Hernandez has him in full stride as they're into the stretch. Wild Shot strikes to the lead. McCracken on the outside, gaining with every stride, and now Collar's the leader. Here's McCracken on the outside. Hernandez goes to the left-handed whip, drifts in slightly, but McCracken remains unblemished and will take the Sam Davis. Tap Red is flying on for second. State of Honor is there for third. And Wild Shot finished fourth. And the running time on the board, 142.45.
Welcome back to the Equine Forum here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Mike Penna, Jude Feld in our Jimmy Johns of Lexington broadcast studios right here in the heart of the Bluegrass, Lexington, Kentucky. And speaking of Bluegrass, well, that's the big Derby prep on the docket here at Keeneland this afternoon. You're going to hear that coverage with us beginning at 5:30 Eastern Time. Don't forget, that's a different SiriusXM channel than what you are tuned into right now. You can tune into that coverage on Sirius 113 on affiliates in Lexington and Louisville, and of course worldwide at horseracingradio.net. JT McCracken, so impressive, ranked number one on many people's Kentucky Derby list. He is trained by Ian Wilkes, who has been associated with a few Bluegrass starters in his day, not only through his stable, but through working with his mentor, Carl Nafsker. We're going to talk with him about that coming up shortly. But McCracken needs some Kentucky Derby points. He is currently in 17th position, but he only has 20 points. He needs to do a little work here today and have a good showing if he wants to move on to Louisville less than a month away.
Well, if he runs like he's been training, he's going to get some points today, that's for sure. Looks fantastic in the mornings, beautiful coat. Ian's done a masterful job, as you would expect. I mean, the guy's one of the best horse trainers in the country, in my opinion, and just does outstanding work. This is the son of Ghost Zapper out of a Seeking the Gold Mare. He's got first Saturday in May written all over him, and I expect a big performance today.
And if you remember, McCracken is our number one overall pick in the Churchill Downs Fantasy Triple Crown League, so we are big McCracken fans this afternoon. Ian Wilkes is with us now from Keeneland. Ian, first of all, thanks for taking the time. Good morning. How is our number one pick doing, my friend?
Thanks, man. Thanks for having me on. He's doing great. I'm very happy with him. Yeah, very pleased how he's come into the race.
Yeah, everybody's been talking about how well he's been doing. He obviously was pointed for this race after he missed the Tampa Bay Derby because of a bit of a hiccup. Take us back through the past couple of months and what it's been like for McCracken.
Yeah, it's been a little rocky road. Not too bad, but it's tested you a little bit. You don't realize sometimes why things happen and what's going on. But in the long run, it may have been a blessing in disguise because, you know, I think he's a bigger, stronger horse right now. And I can't fault the way he's trained coming into this race.
A lot of times when horses get a little break like that, they really blossom, and it seems like that's kind of happened for him.
Yeah, I think you're 100% right there. And but at the time, you know, yeah, I was disappointed missing the race, and you don't quite understand it. But yeah, he's just really blossomed. Since I've got him up here, got him on this track up here, he just glides over the track. He floats over it, so which is good.
Well, Ian, you have to square off with, among others, Taprit, who, of course, had that stellar performance in winning the Tampa Bay Derby in early March. You have to square off with J-Boy's Echo, who won the Gotham, and Practical Joke, who won the Grade 1 Champagne as a juvenile. You a little surprised that this race came up so salty for a Grade 2?
Not really. It's prestigious. This race is Keeneland. It's the Bluegrass. It's prestigious. It means a lot. It should never have been a Grade 2. It should always mean a Grade 1.
Yeah, I say that jokingly. Of course, this is the first year of the Bluegrass and the Wood, by the way, downgraded from a Grade 1 to a Grade 2. But this field is Grade 1 quality through and through. There's no doubt about it. And we'll see if McCracken can step up and get the victory later today. Ian, I mentioned that a couple of the other horses you've been associated with in your day through working with Carl Nafsker have come through the Bluegrass and gone on to do some good things in Louisville. on the first Saturday in May. One of those was Unbridled in 1990. Take me back to that day and what you remember. You were the exercise rider for Unbridled.
Yeah, and it was a little different back then because with Unbridled, it wasn't a point system. He'd already earned his way in with enough greater stakes through the Florida Derby, winning that. And we ran him in the Bluegrass, and the main thing was what we wanted to do was get a good race. Don't knock him out because he's run a lot that year. It was a different style where we were, and having run a bunch, we just needed the right kind of race to get moved forward off of. And Craig took care of him, got a good race in him, didn't knock him around, and it was, and then, the rest is history there with him.
Yeah, he was a sensational horse, and when you have a horse like that, he doesn't win his final prep. Does it make you nervous, or you don't care?
No, it didn't worry us because we knew where we were with him. That was the key. We knew exactly where we were, what we had, and then after that, we could just tighten the screws down and just get him to peak right on that first Saturday in May. And you've seen Carl Nasker over the years. He's just a master of getting a horse to peak at that right time.
Well, Ian, the other horse that you were associated with through Carl was Street Sense, who was beaten in the Bluegrass in 2007, went on and took the Kentucky Derby. A horse like McCracken, if he doesn't win today, obviously you're not going to panic, as you just mentioned with the answer to Jude's question, but how do you get him to peak and make sure he's ready to go when he gets to Louisville less than 4 weeks from today?
Yeah, it's knowing your horse. First thing, you got to know your horse and know how you got to what you got to do and what you got to accomplish to get him to do that. It's a case of I don't want to put the pressure on this horse where I have to win, where I'm just out to win, with him. Our goal is the Derby. Yeah, we need points today. That's important. You can't forget that. So we got to be in the money. That's sure. And as long as I get a right kind of race, a good race, yeah, I'd love to win the Bluegrass. Don't get me wrong, because it's a race we've never won. We've been with Carl. We've never won that race, and it would be fantastic to win it. But it's not the end of the world if I don't. As long as I get the good race where I get a solid race, because looking at this horse, I need a pretty solid race in him and get a real... It doesn't have to be a big grind sort of race, but a solid race because he needs it. And then go to the next one, I need to tighten the screws a little more, because he's ready to run. Is he 110? No. But he will be in the first Saturday of May. That's where I want him, 110.
Yeah, it's a tightrope that you have to walk because you need the points, but you need a good race in your horse for him to be competitive on Derby Day. But you don't want to have him peak today and then be flat on Derby Day.
Yeah, that's it. It's like you're watching. It's like having a tomato that can go bad real quick. So you got to be very careful. You want him to ripen at the right time.
Well, Ian, you're in a unique position because he has never lost. McCracken is a perfect 4-for-4. Does keeping him undefeated ever enter into your mind when you're going into a race like this?
It's always in the back of your mind. Let's be honest. It's always nice to be unbeaten. That's tremendous. But is it the goal for us to be unbeaten? No. I'd love for him to. If you said I could run second or third today, and I can win the next three, I'll take that. How's that?
Great plan.
That's what makes Ian Wilkes so good, ladies and gentlemen. Well, Ian, we wish you all the best here this afternoon. We'd love to see you go ahead and come out on top here in the Bluegrass. We will be there. We'll be cheering. And go get it done, my friend.
Is that for your fantasy you want me to win?
Absolutely.
I want you to win for you.
Yeah.
You deserve it.
I want him to be undefeated.
Okay. All right. I'll try my best, okay?
All right. Go get him. Thanks, Ian.
Okay, mate. Thanks.
Ian Wilkes here on Horse Racing Radio Network. Always a lot of fun. Ready to roll and pretty loose the morning of the Bluegrass Stakes, right? He seems very relaxed, very calm. He's Ian.
Yeah, he's unflappable, really, and I think it comes with the fact that he's confident in his abilities. He knows what he's doing. He knows his horse. He pays a lot of attention. I don't have enough nice things to say about the guy, really. He's outstanding, and I don't think he gets the credit that he deserves because a lot of times, you know, he's in the shadow of Carl Nasker, but he's a whole different kind of guy.
He said this horse always amazes him, continues to amaze him, and, you know, we'll see if he can do it again today and keep Ian in amazement. I think that would be a great place to be for Ian Wilkes and for the camp involved with McCracken.
Yeah, I love the plan. Even if he loses today.
Win the next three.
Outstanding. Outstanding.
All right. We are going to get to another commercial break. When we come back, we're going to turn our attention to the Wood Memorial, and we'll visit with jockey Rajiv Miraj, who is aboard Irish War Cry for trainer Graham Motion. Stay with us. That's next on the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, your home for the Kentucky Derby and Triple Crown.
Pin Oak Stud, home to Broken Vow, sire of 2016 Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Juvenile Fillies winner and Eclipse finalist Champagne Room, as well as other Grade 1 winners like Cotton Blossom, Unbridled Belle, Rosalind, and Sassy Image. Also home to millionaire and multiple graded stakes winner Alternation by Distorted Humor, a six-time stakes winner including the Peter Pan, Pimlico Special, and Oaklawn Handicap. Alternation was represented by his first yearlings, which sold last year for up to $160,000, over 20 times his stud fee. Broken Vow and Alternation, standing at Pin Oak Stud.
What's on your mind, kid? Make it fast.
I'd like to work here at Jimmy John's, world's greatest gourmet sandwich shop, sir.
Why do you want to work at Jimmy John's, kid?
I'm perfect for Jimmy John's.
Doing what?
Delivery.
Delivery?
Delivery.
We deliver pretty fast here at Jimmy John's.
That's what I heard.
What'd you hear?
You deliver pretty fast here at Jimmy John's.
Then you heard right.
I'm a fast study, sir.
You know the Jimmy John's slogan?
The Jimmy John's slogan.
Jimmy John's slogan is sub so fast you'll freak.
Sub so fast you'll freak is a swell slogan, sir.
When people call for a Jimmy John's sandwich, they want it fast.
Then I'm your man, sir.
How so?
Because I'm fast.
Fast at what?
Fast at everything.
Can you deliver fast?
I can deliver fast.
How fast?
I can run a 440 and 220.
Minutes?
No seconds.
That's fast. You deliver before?
I delivered newspapers before.
Were you fast?
Very fast.
How fast?
People got tomorrow's paper today.
That's fast.
So do I have the job?
Not so fast. How do I know you're not just some fast talker?
I can get your references.
When?
Now.
These are good references.
Thank you.
But at Jimmy John's, you got to be more than fast.
More than fast.
You got to be polite.
Fast and polite.
Fast and polite.
I can do fast and polite.
Okay, give me some time to think it over.
Okay.
Okay, I've thought it over. When can you start?
Now.
Now is good. What's your name, kid?
Stefan Apollopoulos.
Too long. How about Ed?
That's fine.
Welcome aboard, Ed.
Jimmy John's. Exceptional delivery. Order online at jimmyjohns.com.
Airdrie Stud is proud to announce the arrival of Upstart, the best 2- and 3-year-old son of leading sire Flatter.
But Upstart is pulling away, and he is pulling away impressively to win the Holy Bowl.
Upstart became the East Coast leading Kentucky Derby contender after demolishing a star-studded field in the Grade 2 Holy Bowl and retired a multiple graded stakes winner and six times Grade 1 placed with earnings of more than $1.7 million. Airdrie Stud's Upstart. Think about it.
Shackelford. Won or placed in 10 graded stakes.
Shackelford's got the lead. Shackelford Animal Kingdom. Shackelford has done it.
Won three grade ones.
One from on the go. Shackelford is still there. They're coming down to the finish at Shackelford.
115 buyer speed figure.
But the one who's got the courage in faith is Shackelford. He's out in front. Shackelford wins the claw.
Shackelford. Visit DarbyDan.com.
This is Tom Leach for Kentucky Bank's Wealth Management Department. Investing in today's world requires advice that is timely and responsive to your investment needs and objectives. At Kentucky Bank, we strive to provide you with our full range of investment services with the highest degree of service and to deliver it in a personalized and effective fashion. For a no-obligation review, call Clark Nyberg at 859-988-1318. That's Clark Nyberg, 859-988-1318. Call Kentucky Bank and call it home. I do.
Multiple Grade 1 winner First Samurai by Giant's Causeway got off to a quick start at stud, siring Grade 1 winners in each of his first three crops. His talented son, Lee, captured the Grade 1 Don Handicap in record time and retired to stud with over $2.3 million in earnings. Sovereign Award winner Stacked Deck captured the Grade 3 Bold Venture Stakes and Grade 2 Kennedy Road Stakes, both just a tick off track record times. First Samurai at Claiborne Farm.
Hi, this is Joel Rosario, and I listen to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Social inclusion tested like he's never been tested before. Chivarelli down inside. Samrat is wicked strong. Comes gobbling up ground down the center of the racetrack. And here is Wicked Strong, who sweeps to the lead in the final furlong. And Wicked Strong wins it going away. Samrat in a tight photo for the runner-up spot here with social inclusion. Chivarelli finishing fourth. The final time was 1:49:01. Wicked Strong, the winner.
Mike Penna, Jude Feld, back with you on the Equine Forum, broadcasting from our Jimmy Johns of Lexington broadcast studios here in Lexington, Kentucky. Wicked Strong, Tom Durkin with the call of that 2014 running of the Wood Memorial. Wicked Strong, ridden by jockey Rajiv Miraj. Rajiv is back in the saddle in the wood later this afternoon aboard the Graham Motion-trained Irish War Cry. But for Rajiv, this is kind of the culmination of a lot of hard work, a lot of dedication, a lot of sacrifice to get back from an injury that he suffered on July 10th, 2015. He took just about a year and a half away from the saddle trying to get back to where he is today. And he is on top of his game, winning races day in and day out. And we couldn't be happier to be joined now by our good friend Rajiv Miraj. Rajiv, welcome, my friend.
Oh, good morning, Mike and Jude. Thanks for having me.
Wagwan, Rasta.
What's up?
Hey, welcome back to the Wood Memorial, my friend. Good to see you back in the saddle and on the big stage again.
Thanks. I'm very excited to be in the race and being able to get these kind of opportunities to ride these big races.
Is it maybe a little extra special this time around, knowing everything that you've had to go through with your recovery and coming back from that severe injury? Is this a little more special this time?
It's always been special for me every time I ride races, and even before I got injured, especially these big races. But I think it's a little surreal because it's been such a short time and that I've been back riding and having this success and being able to ride these horses. You know, it's pretty exciting. And like you said, I've 16 months out was a long time, so I'm glad that, you know, things are going good for me right now.
Well, first of all, I want to apologize for telling you to go to Gulfstream for the winter. That was bad advice. And then, Mike and I know how much you had to struggle to come back and all the work that you did and overcoming the mental aspect of it, how you weren't in a good spot for a while and you didn't know if you could make it back, and you worked so hard. So it's very admirable what you've done. But with the tremendous talent that you've always had, it's not surprising that the trainers recognize that you're back and have taken advantage of the fact that you're excited to be back and hungry to win. And a lot of times it's the mental part of the game that people tend to ignore, but it's really been great for you because you've overcome so much and now you're in the spotlight, and just fantastic accomplishment.
Thank you.
Rajiv, you won your first race back November 23rd of last year. You mentioned how quickly all of this has happened since you returned to the saddle. Are you somewhat surprised when you actually look back and say, wow, I'm back here, I'm riding it on the big stage again, and I did it in such a short period of time?
Well, when I was out and down and everything with my injury and all that and trying to come back, those are the days. These are the days that I dream about. These are the days that motivate me to work harder at rehab and everything. So, you know, it's like that's what I was hoping for. But then when you come back, you don't know if you're ever going to get that opportunity, because it just, every time I get injured and I come back, I just feel like it's like starting over from scratch in my head. But then once I start riding, people start giving me great opportunities, and then I feel like, wow, it's happening again. I'm getting the opportunities again. So maybe I look too much into it. Like, I feel like I'm starting from scratch, but I don't know.
You know, you and I have had this conversation privately, and I've asked several jockeys this same question, Rajiv. We see jockeys do this all the time, but you look at your injuries. You had several fractured vertebrae. You had a broken rib. You had a collapsed lung, and you went through, well, let's face it, you went through hell trying to get back for those 18 months or so. Why do it? Why come back and ride again and put yourself at risk? Why do jockeys do that?
Well, for me personally, when I was out, I had a lot of time to reflect on my life, where I'm at in life, what do I want out of life, what do I, you know, where's my life at? And everything led back to me being a jockey. Like, that's what I love. That's my passion. At this point in my life, that's really what I want to do. There is nothing else. And it gave me, I think that even gave me more motivation to know that I have to work hard at it, because if I wasn't riding horses at this moment in my life, I would be very unhappy if that was taken away from me by injury. You know, so it's just, I just don't feel like it's time for me to hang that up and move on to the next part of my life yet. I think this is just what I want to do. This is what I love doing. And when I'm out there and I have the opportunity to ride, I'm just trying to make the most of it every day.
Yeah, when you come back and you're doing well, it really changes your outlook. And today, you get to ride in the Wood Memorial, a race you won with Wicked Strong. It was a day I'll never forget. I went home with a bunch of money that day. and now you got a horse that's live, that's been on a lot of Kentucky Derby lists and stuff. Do you ever pause to think if you could win this race today and what that might do to your chances of winning the Kentucky Derby?
Usually a horse that wins the Wood Memorial is definitely a top contender for the Derby. Like, when I won at Wicked Strong, I went into Derby thinking I had a great shot to win, and I was on a top contender. And I would say if Irish War Cry were to win today, he would definitely be a top contender. And the funny thing is, when I saw him win the Holy Bull, I was at home after I finished riding Aqueduct. I came home and watched the race, and I watched him win the Holy Bull. I'm like, wow, this looks like the real Derby horse right here. I love the way he did it, and lucky enough, I'm on that horse right now.
Talking with Rajiv Miraj here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Well, how about when you went back and watched his Fountain of Youth performance, Rajiv? What went through your mind then?
Well, you would think that what is the reason for the horse to run that race? Because, you know, he's shown a lot of brilliance before, and that was definitely far from what he was expected to do. And I didn't know what to make of it. But Mr. Graham Motion said that he doesn't have an excuse and just put a line through the race. And we're hoping he comes back to his best race, because he's definitely feeling great. I've galloped the horse the last couple of days, and he's feeling like a real, really good shape, and everything is going well. So looking forward to it.
Well, that's a good point, Rajiv, because, you know, you haven't ridden Irish War Cry in the afternoon, so being able to get on him in the mornings, how important is that, and what kind of things do you learn when you're aboard a horse in the morning?
Well, that was one of the reasons for me to get on him, is to get acquainted with the horse and mainly just kind of get a feel of him, what he's about, and, you know, his mental attributes and the way he carries himself, and try to get, you know, just familiarize with the horse. And I was glad that I did that, because I learned a few things about the horse just by getting on him. Learned that he's a pretty relaxed horse, even though he seems to go out there and run fast in the afternoon. He's pretty relaxed. He's a handy horse. So I think I'll have no problem to do it for him to do anything that I demand of him to do.
You know, your relationship with Graham Motion goes back several years. He has always been a huge supporter of Rajiv Miraj. Talk about that relationship for a minute, Rajiv.
It's a great relationship. Not only that, he's such a nice guy, Graham. He can get along with anybody. But we do good in the races, and he has confidence in me, and I kind of know what he looks for, the way he trains and the way he likes his horses running. So we keep develop a good working relationship, and also his family is great with my wife and my family, and it's just a good overall relationship, and he's one of the nicest, classiest guys you can ever meet in your life. So it's easy to ride for him.
Well, I think he would probably say the same thing about you, Rajiv. And I want to wish you all the best this afternoon. Good luck with Irish War Cry. And by all means, my friend, safe trip out there this afternoon.
Thank you. And I hope to see you guys in Kentucky. And I'll make sure I cook some jerk chicken for you.
You still owe us jerk chicken.
Jerk chicken for sure.
You were supposed to take us in Florida. We never went to the jerk chicken truck or whatever you were going to take me to.
Right. I'll make it up to you. I'll do some homemade jerk chicken Mirage specialty.
Beautiful.
Not too spicy. I have a sensitive palate.
Oh, it's going to be spicy.
Yeah.
Bring a jug of water with you.
Yeah. Blow his ears off.
All right, buddy. Good luck today.
Good talking to you.
All right. Rajiv Mirage here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Like all of our guests who appear on the program, he is going to receive a gift courtesy of Embrace the Race, the apparel for the horse racing lifestyle. You can embrace your passion and you can wear what you love at EmbraceTheRace.com. How much fun is Rajiv?
Oh, he's the greatest. I love every minute that we spend with him is just fantastic.
You know that jerk is going to be extra spicy.
Oh,
now.
It's going to be
that,
so
right?
good. It's going to be so good.
Sometimes Ritz crackers are a bit too spicy for me, so yeah, this is going to be difficult, but I'll get through it.
Yeah, just
maybe he can make two different batches.
You're carrying this way too far, you know. Chances are we'll just go to the truck in Pembroke Pines.
All right, well, it was a busy first hour. Doug O'Neill was here with that interview with Jude. Ian Wilkes, of course, stopped by to join us, and then Rajiv Mirage. If you missed any portion, head over to our website, horseracingradio.net. You can check out the podcast at your leisure. It's all there, horseracingradio.net. We're going to pause 10 seconds for station identification. When we come back, we'll get you set for hour number two. Michael Hernan, John Gasper, Steve Castagnola, they're in studio. We'll do an awful lot of handicapping over the course of the next hour. We'll pause 10 seconds for station identification. This is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
From the rail to your radio, this is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Behold the red Songbird, a soul-stirring duel. Forever unbridled, two-legs back bird. Songbird and Beholder, Beholder and Songbird. A cliffhanger that could go either way.
Here comes Lonnie on the far outside, and Brigator is coming too. It is Destin in front. Brigator, Lonnie on the outside. Destin and Brigator, these two come down to the line together.
Originating from our Jimmy Johns of Lexington studios, welcome to the Equine Forum.
Shaman Ghost is trying to get into second, then Neolithic. Back forth is Noble Bird, followed by Keen Ice. But what a race! What a sport! What a horse! Arrogate romps in the Pegasus.
Great Hong on the inside and Masochistic still battling it out. AP Indian making no impression. Mind Your Biscuits is bubbling to the surface. Dray Fong pulls clear of Masochistic. Mind Your Biscuits finishing with a flourish, but Dray Fong's the leader. Dray Fong has won.
Now, here's Mike Penna and Jude Feld.
Welcome back. Hour number two of the Equine Forum here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Rolling on, just 28 days, 9 hours, 31 minutes, and 9 seconds away from the Run for the Roses. On Saturday, May 6th, we will be there as your official radio home of the Kentucky Derby and the Triple Crown in partnership with our friends at NBC Sports and with Westwood One. You can check out a complete Derby Week schedule on the schedule page of our website, horseracingradio.net. Three major Kentucky Derby preps on the docket for this afternoon. The Wood Memorial in New York, the Bluegrass Stakes here in Kentucky, and the Santa Anita Derby on the West Coast. The Santa Anita Derby, by far the biggest field of the three, but JT, the most star power maybe right here in Lexington, Kentucky.
Oh yeah, I think so. I think this is the prime prep, and we'll see how it goes. We'll see what McCracken does and take it from there.
McCracken, Taprit, Practical Joke, J-Boy's Echo. It is an absolutely loaded field that we're going to talk about with our guest handicappers here in just a minute. That's Michael Hernan from Gainesway Farm, John Gasper, Stevie Castagnola. How about this? Five stakes races on the docket at Keeneland today. All of them are graded, all highlighted by the Grade 2 Bluegrass, which is set for 6:17 Eastern. Quick reminder before we get to our special guest. Our coverage this afternoon begins at 5:30 Eastern, 5:30 to 7:30. It will air on Sirius 113. Keep that in mind for those of you tuning in on Sirius XM. Sirius 113 on Hank 96.1 in Lexington, ESPN 680 in Louisville, and of course streaming on our website worldwide at horseracingradio.net. All right, well, this is some 20 or 30 years running now, I guess going back to the 1980s when John Gasper started joining us for this segment on this program. Of course, I wasn't involved at that point. It was my mentor, Pete Kulis. John Gasper was there. Michael Hernan was there. Stevie came along shortly after that. And guys, it's been a fun run, and welcome back. Here we go again. Keeneland 2017. Johnny, good morning.
Good morning. Just glad to be here, brother. I'm telling you. It's a beautiful day out there. Was out there this morning, and a big crowd out this morning at Keeneland. The upper parking lot was just full. A lot of kids running around. It was a great time. A lot of activity, a lot of trainers out this morning, which has been unusual. But they were all out there today. It should be a really good day. There's a lot of competitive betting races today for our listeners, and you might make some serious money today if you get lucky.
Yeah, you got to get the right horses. Going to be a good day, too, from a weather perspective. Michael Hernan, you just talked about that. Going to be in the upper 60s, plenty of sunshine, and beautiful day here in the Bluegrass.
Yeah, super day, Mike. Good to be back with you and Jude here and the guys in the studio. Again, beautiful day, top racing. Very exciting time of year here in the Bluegrass with today's card and the lead into the Kentucky Derby and an exciting prospect, several of them in the Bluegrass today.
Yeah, loaded field. Stevie C., good morning. Happy to have you back on board.
Thank you. 20 years for me doing the show, 1997. So great to have all of us here, a full house. And one of my favorite days, not only Bluegrass Day here in Lexington, but moving day at the Masters. So a big day today.
Go, Phil.
Be great, wouldn't it? Fred Couples, what a leaderboard that is.
Yeah, tremendous leaderboard. Would be a lot of fun. And hunker down tomorrow and watch Sunday. But today it's all about the horses and all about Keeneland, Santa Anita, and Aqueduct. Johnny, let's start with you. We're going to walk through all of the greatest stakes at Keeneland. Then we'll get you to the Wood. We'll get you to the Santa Anita Derby. We'll talk about those as well as we handicap here in the second half of the program. The Grade 3 Commonwealth is race number 6 at Keeneland today. It kicks off the graded stakes action, and a solid field sprinting 7 furlongs on the main track. It's a field of 9. How'd you see it?
Yeah, it's 7 furlongs, so that's a race that the horses, they pretty much have to run the whole way, and there's several horses in here that I'm going to touch on, starting with the one horse, Tail of Savelle, trained by Barkley Tagg. He's had a couple of really good races down at Gulfstream, even though he just won the one, but he was a very good third in the Fred Hooper, his last start. Post position may hamper him a bit, but I'm going to give him a chance in here. Tyler Gaffleone is coming in to ride him from Florida, and he's, for our listeners that have not been really up to date on him, he's a young and upcoming rider, and he's done some pretty good stuff down there. The other horse I was looking at was number 4, Yaki's Warrior. He had a very good race on February 17th down at Oaklawn. Nice allowance race. His numbers are good. He's had a little break in between. I think he's going to get a very good trip. He's kind of a horse that's going to put himself in a position to make a run through the stretch. One other horse I wanted to talk about was Awesome Slew on the outside. I think he's coming off a mile race down at Gulfstream, but I think he's going to get a good trip because there's a speed in here, and I think it's going to set up well for him coming off of that mile race. So I'm going to go with the 9 and on top there, Awesome Slew.
Awesome Slew for Johnny Gasper. Stevie Castagnola, how'd you see the Grade 3 Commonwealth?
Well, I think, being that 7 furlong distance, you generally find horses that specialize at that distance have an advantage, and the favorite in here will be number 8, AP Indian. He's 4-for-4 over the 7 furlong distance, and he does own a win at the track, but he hasn't run since the 5th of November last year, and at a short price, I just have a feeling that this horse might need one. So when you put a line through the 8-to-5 morning line favorite, it opens things up. And I like a couple of the horses John touched on. I've been a big fan of Yaki's Warrior. He burst on the scene last year. Very fast horse. And to me, there doesn't appear to be a ton of speed in here. And I could see Yaki's Warrior getting loose on the lead. He's run some very fast races down at Fairgrounds. His conditioner, Al Storr, wins at a 29% clip. And I think this horse, I don't know that you're going to get 8-1. Seems awful generous. But I think Yaki's Warrior could take him wire to wire. And I also like the 9, Awesome Slew, who's at 6-1 with Joel Rosario. Mark Cassie had a winner yesterday on opening day. And as John alluded to, this horse is cutting back from a one-turn mile at Gulfstream Park, but he's run a mile and an eighth, a mile and a 16th several times. So broke his maiden going 5 furlongs, so he seems versatile. And I think Awesome Slew could get a nice tracking trip from the outside where he'll be able to see everything unfold. So for me, number 4, Yucky's Warrior, and number 9, Awesome Slew, and they should both be square prices if you can beat the 8-5 favorite AP Indian.
Michael, I was thinking back. I was trying to remember exactly how Pete used to introduce you when he was with us on this show. Was it the star goalie of the Irish soccer team? Is that right? Does that bring back memories?
Where did you take that?
That goes back a few years.
It certainly does.
He just wanted to dress better than the rest of the guys.
Back to the matter at hand.
And now a word from our sponsor.
Continue.
I think the guys have covered this well, and Steve pointed out the distance specialist in AP Indian, number 8. He's well prepped for this. I know he's coming in off the shelf, but I expect him to run well. He was really unbeatable last year for a streak going through Belmont and up at Saratoga. Dual grade 1 winner. He beat Tamar Cruz, who came back to win the Breeders' Cup Dirt Mile late in the year. AP Indian specialist at this distance. I do think he'll be very hard to beat. Some of the other horses the guys mentioned are, you know, legit for sure, but I think today I'd have to go with the favorite.
All right, so a bit of a chalky beginning to the greatest stakes sequence at Keeneland. JT, do you agree?
Yeah, I think so. I think the outside horse is tough. One horse that nobody mentioned that I think you could add to your trifecta is Limousine Liberal, the 3. He had a absolutely sparkling work at Keeneland the other day, 58-2 on April Fool's Day. He loves Keeneland. His trainer, Ben Colebrook, is a very talented guy that I used to work with at 505 Farm. And I think he's got a shot, and he could, you know, be in the try. I love Jose Ortiz, too.
All right, well, I don't know about you guys, but when I take a look at the 5.5 furlong turf sprint, the grade 2 Shakertown, all of these turf sprints are always so competitive. You have a field of 9 going to the post in this one, but I always say, okay, just put the names on a dartboard, throw some darts at it, and see what sticks and see if you can get lucky. Johnny, do you agree with me or no?
Well, we know that you have to work out, you know, you have to get lucky on these trips on this race, but on any of these short races. But I think there's 3 horses in here that look like to me that are kind of going to have it, you know, going to have some say in it. And that's 2, Rainbow Air, who's obviously the 3-1 favorite on the program. And you might get 3-1 on him because it's like I say, there's 3 or 4 horses in here that are going to be competitive. He's down inside, and his style has changed in the last couple of races on the turf. He was a really fast horse early, and now he's kind of coming from kind of back off the pace pretty good. So he's more than likely going to have to work out a trip and probably will go off the favorite. Green Mask is a horse that has run several pretty good races here at Keeneland at the distance. And so he's going to be also have a pretty good chance. And the 7 horse that beat Green Mask, Hoagie, he drew to the outside and probably has the best post of all and has enough speed to kind of be in the mix. And I'm going to give him the nod here a little bit, number 7, Hoagie.
All right, that's the grade 2 Shakertown. Hoagie for John Gasper. Michael, you want to go next?
Sure thing. I actually landed on the same horse as John here in Hoagie, ridden by Florent Giroux today. He's quite a revelation on the turf. He's consistent. He's competitive. He's well-drawn. He's a stalker, and I think he'll be tough to beat. He's 4-1 on the line, which is appealing. And then you got to take a look at Mongolian Saturday. He's 2-2 at Keeneland. We sold them for Normandy Farm, Nancy Polk, who runs a filly later in the Ashland. This fellow won the Breeders' Cup here at Keeneland. He's trained well. He just seems to act different here at this track, and if he puts it all together, he should be right there.
Yeah, it would be a pretty square exacta, too, 4-1 over 7-2 with Hoagie and Mongolian Saturday. Stevie?
A Mongolian Saturday, hopefully the owners will be here, and if you get a chance to see this horse down in the paddock, the owners dress in traditional Mongolian attire, and they've become quite the attraction down in the paddock. And this horse obviously won the Breeders' Cup Turf Sprint at Keeneland over a track that was listed as good. Not sure if there'll be any change in the turf condition today. It was listed as good yesterday. I would imagine it'll be somewhat the same. The two horses that the guys touched on, the two Rainbow Air, certainly figures. Last two Buyer Speed figures, both 102. Green Mask, a very fast horse, and you cannot dismiss anything from the Brad Cox barn. But I hate to do it, but my best bet of the day today is number 7, Hoagie. Boy, what a fun horse he would be to own. He's an 8-year-old gelding, earned $848,000. He's won a first or second, 11 of 15 over the 5.5 furlong trip. So he's a specialist at the distance. He's got a bullet work coming in, 31% trainer, Florent Giroux. I think he gets the trip. And my best bet of the day, number 7, it's unanimous across the board, Hoagie. Jude.
JT, you make it 4-for-4?
No. Hoagie's 0-for-3 at Keeneland. That scares me. I would not bet a lot of money on him.
I know you're going with Mongolian Saturday.
Well, I like Mongolian Saturday. That's an old friend, and he telegraphs his victories with a good workout, and he worked best the morning 46 and change. So I think he's got a big chance. My top pick is Green Mask. I like him. But a horse that nobody mentioned, again, we'll touch on, Justin Squared. This horse is a very fast horse, and he's training lights out for Wesley Ward, who's already started winning at Keeneland. There's a shocker. The conqueror of Royal Ascot and the king of Keeneland, Wesley Ward, by his own admission. And I just think this horse is really fast. I don't like speed horses going short. To me, this is the most interesting race of the day at all three tracks that we're talking about. Forget the Derby preps. I am really looking forward to the Shakertown. I will be there to watch this race.
All right, there you go. We're going to get to a quick break. When we come back, we'll take a look at the Grade 1 Madison, the Grade 1 Ashland, and that Grade 2 Bluegrass. That's all in the next segment. Stay with us. It's the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Multiple Eclipse champion Gio Ponti, a 7-time Grade 1 winner and earner of more than $6 million, is now the sire of a Classic winner and a Breeders' Cup Sprint winner with his first crop.
Dre Fong pulls clear of Masochistic. Mind Your Biscuits finishing with a flourish, but Dre Fong's the leader. Dre Fong has won.
That powerful win in the Breeders' Cup Sprint capped a perfect 2016 campaign for Dre Fong that included a dominating win in the Grade 1 Kings Bishop at Saratoga and ended with Dre Fong being named Eclipse Champion Sprinter. In addition, Gio Ponti is also represented by the Classic Queen's Plate winner Sir Dudley Diggs. And Castleton Lions is also home to Justin Phillip, who retired sound after competing in 23 graded stakes, winning 11 of those, including this dominating performance in the Grade 1 AG Vanderbilt.
But it will be Justin Phillips to win the Vanderbilt by 2.
Look for Justin Phillips' first crop of 2-year-olds in 2017. For more information, visit CastletonLions.com.
Woodford Feed, where tradition merges with technology. Family-owned since 1940 and providing exceptional customer service, Woodford Feed specializes in the highest quality feed, using only the finest ingredients to ensure optimal nutrition for your horses. In addition, Woodford Feed can help with all your farm needs, including field seed, fertilizer, and weed control. So whether your horse is sprinting around the racetrack or has a foal by her side, count on Woodford Feed to provide the quality nutrition necessary to perform at the highest level. Woodford Feed, Versailles, Kentucky.
Since 1940, the National HBPA has provided thoroughbred horsemen with a unified voice, representing their interest and needs before state and federal governments and improving business conditions for thoroughbred horsemen and their employees. With a seat on the board of major industry organizations, the National HBPA continues to support more than 30,000 individual owners, trainers, breeders, and backstretch personnel throughout the United States and Canada. Contact CEO Eric Hamelback to let your voice be heard and support the National HBPA by visiting hbpa.org. New for 2017 at Spendthrift Farm. Hit It A Bomb, the precocious, undefeated Grade 1 winning 2-year-old and the only Breeders' Cup winner by elite sire Warfront. One of Warfront's best-bred sons at stud, hailing out of a stakes-winning Sadler's Wells mare, his half-sister, Brave Anna, is a current Grade 1 winner and leading 2-year-old filly in Europe in 2016. Hit It A Bomb, standing at Spendthrift.
Fans, it's Santa Anita Derby Day at the Great Race Place. Come early on Saturday as first post time for a blockbuster 11-race card that will include the $1 million Santa Anita Derby and five other stakes is at 12 noon. Admission gates open on Derby Day at 10 a.m. All Derby Day attendees will receive our traditional Santa Anita Derby t-shirt free with paid admission. Again, first post time on Derby Day is at 12 noon. Admission gates open at 10 a.m. Santa Anita, great racing and great value in a world-class setting.
It's time now to shine the spotlight on the Darley Taking the Reins Performer of the Week.
High Happy on the inside, Hard Aces the outside, Big John B in the middle, Hard Aces has won it by a neck from either Big John B or High Happy, a great race.
Hard Aces outlasted Big John B to take the Grade 3 Tokyo Cup at Santa Anita last weekend, giving Darley Stallion Hard Spun a graded stakes exacta and making Hard Aces and Big John B your Darley Taking the Reins Performers of the Week. Darley Stallion Hard Spun is Danzig's last Grade 1 winning son, who sired more first crop stakes winners than any other stallion. Hard Aces became Hard Spun's fourth graded stakes winner in 2017. No stallion has more, and only Tappet can match that number. Hard Spun was also recently represented by a new TDN Rising Star on Saturday in a maiden special weight at Gulfstream with 3-year-old colt Time to Travel and local hero who was third in the Louisiana Derby. Learn more about Hard Spun and all the Darley Stallions by visiting DarleyAmerica.com.
Yo, guys, they call me Jersey Joe, but it's only Joe Bravo. Call me whatever you like. Just so happy that you're listening to Horse Racing Radio Network.
This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
As the field turns for home, Red Bullet on the outside toward the inside, Country Only, and he's tough today. Country Only short lead, and Fusa Ichi Pegasus is asked for his best in mid-stretch into the final furlong, and Fusa Ichi Pegasus runs by the front runners, and he's pulling away, and he is pulling away impressively. Red Bullet left behind, Country Only third, Aptitude fourth. Fusa Ichi Pegasus will roll into Kentucky as the favorite in the Derby. He wins by five impressive lengths. Red Bullet finishing second. It was close for third there between Aptitude and Country Only. The time for the race, 1:47.45.
Tom Durkin with a call of that 2000 Wood Memorial. Fusa Ichi Pegasus would go on and win the Kentucky Derby in his next start. He is one of 11 horses to win both the Wood Memorial and the Kentucky Derby, and that's been a very productive prep over the years. 20 horses have prepped in the Wood Memorial and gone on and taken the Kentucky Derby in their next start. So it's been a good one, and we're going to talk about that race coming up in just a little bit for you here on the Equine Forum. Mike Penna, Jude Feld in our Jimmy Johns of Lexington broadcast studios. Michael Hernan, John Gasper, Steve Castagnola walking through all the big races. We've got a couple of good ones to look at next. The Grade 1 Madison, the Grade 1 Ashland, and the Grade 2 Bluegrass at Keeneland, all in this segment. We're going to do that in just a minute, but first, a quick look at your top headline at bloodhorse.com. The Eclipse Awards are moving. They're moving to Thursday before the Pegasus. The National Thoroughbred Racing Association announced April 7th that the 47th annual Eclipse Awards will be January 25th, 2018 at Gulfstream Park, the Thursday before the $16 million Pegasus World Cup Stakes at Gulfstream in Hallandale Beach, Florida. The Eclipse Awards, bestowed upon horses and individuals whose outstanding achievements in North America in 2017 have earned them the title of champion in 17 categories, will be hosted at Gulfstream for the sixth consecutive year. And that is your Blood Horse News Update. Don't miss any of the Derby prep races or Triple Crown race coverage like only Blood Horse Magazine and Tablet can bring you. Plus, right now, you can sign up for the Blood Horse Derby Dozen, which is 12 weekly issues for as little as $16. Go to bloodhorse.com/dozen to sign up now. And if you have an iPad or tablet, you can get each issue as soon as it's released. No waiting. That's bloodhorse.com/dozen. All right, gentlemen, the Grade 1 Madison Stakes is race number 8 at Keeneland today. 7 furlongs on the main track. Should be a fast main track, as we told you earlier. Upper 60s and sunny here in the Bluegrass this afternoon. $300,000 and a field of 9 set to go. Who wants it first? Michael Hernan.
Okay, guys. Interesting filly and new ownership here is the likely favorite, number 6, Paula Silver's Lining, who was recently purchased by Garrett O'Rourke for Judmont. She's lined up to visit Arrogate when he comes to stud. Talented runner. Chad Brown has her now, ridden by Jose Ortiz, who's a top speed rider. He's super on the front end. She'll be very tough. I think her numbers are best. And then we have a shipper in for Linda Rice, High Ridge Road, number 5. She's coming off a grade 2 win in the Barbara Fritchie, where she's a bit of a specialist at Laurel. So we'll see how she goes here today, looking for grade 1 status. But I think those are the two standout horses. And I think it's going to be very difficult to beat the favorite, number 6, Paula Silver Lining.
All right, Paula's Silver Lining, Chad Brown, the 5-year-old daughter of Ghost Sapper in the Madison. Stevie, what do you think?
Well, I think it's a very tough field to come up with a winner. It's there's 5 of the 9 horses are listed between 3-1 and 5-1. So that tells you it's hard to separate the top 5 of the 9 in the wagering. The 1 paid-up subscriber, she does have a win over the 7 furlong distance. She's been doing most of her running at the end of last year, going 1 1/8, even ran 1 1/4 in the Delaware Handicap. So a significant cutback. Philly hasn't run since the fall meet, October 9th, so it's been a while for Chad Brown. Joel Rosario gets the mount, and as Michael mentioned, Paula Silver Lining, the 2nd of the Chad Brown entries. She hasn't run since December. Chad is obviously more than capable of getting a horse to fire, and being a grade 1 race, I'm sure both these fillies are ready to fire their best shots. The 2 close fall off is taking the same route into this race as she did last year. She ran in the Barbara Fritchie and then the Correction Handicap and then in the Madison last year. She didn't run well last year. She was 8th, beaten 11 lengths. But that resulted in a layoff of about 6 months. She's come back this year running the Interborough, the Barbara Fritchie, and the Correction. So this filly's not without a shot. You know, close fall off. She's got tactical speed. She was beaten 2 back by High Ridge Road, the Linda Rice filly. But I'm going to lean just a little bit to the 4 Constellation. Jerry Hollendorfer, just a wizard with fillies. And this filly comes in from California. She brings with her a Bullet Work, 58-2. And this lightly raced daughter, she's won 5 of 9, daughter of Bellamy Road. She was an $800,000 2-year-old purchase, purchased by Alex Solis and Jason Litt for the L&J Foxwood connections. And it's really tough for me to just land on one filly in here, but I'll give the slight nod to number 4, Constellation.
Pontiff?
Well, I like Constellation, too. She's a really cool-looking filly. She has these little white dots all over her, and that's how she got her name, because it looks like stars all over her body. Very, very cool filly. I think it's a wide, wide open race. I could see many horses winning this race, so I don't really have a strong selection.
Johnny, how about you? Is it wide open for you, too?
Yeah, I think so, but I'm going to go with the 5 High Ridge Road. She's won 4 out of her last 6, and has the right style, and we own a half-sister, so I'm
big. There you go.
There you go. I'll give you another little Swami angle in here from the human side of things. No jockey has won this race more than once, with the exception of Hall of Famer Edgar Prado. He's done it 3 times, and he is aboard number 7, Wheatfield, who is 12-1 on the morning line. So if you're looking for that type of angle in a wide-open race, maybe Edgar Prado and Wheatfield is the winning combination in that Madison. The grade one Ashland is race number 9, 5:40 Eastern time. This is for the three-year-old fillies and a prep for the Kentucky Oaks. Mile and a 16th on the main track. It's a field of 8. And what do you think? Michael Hernan? John Gasper? Who wants it?
These guys are waving themselves off here.
I'm just trying to give you guys a first shot because I've had three or four of them.
All right. First shot here, I'll go to the 6, Daddy's Little Darling for Kenny McPeak and Normandy Farm. This filly ran well at Keeneland last year. She was second in the Alcibiades Grade 1, came with a big run. If you look at the line, her last race at Tampa was on turf. I don't think she handled it that well. She did try, made a run, and actually got stopped pretty good at a critical time. So that race, I think, is better than it looks on paper. So the switchback for this daughter of Scat Daddy to the dirt over a track which she's run well will be my selection. So number 6, Daddy's Little Darling.
All right. Stevie C?
Well, it's interesting that the outside horse here, the 8, also a filly for Ellen J. Foxwoods and Jerry Hollendorf for a daughter of Tappet. I'm going to go just to her inside and take a shot with a horse that's a filly that's a little bit of a price. I don't think this is the strongest addition that we've seen of the Ashland Stakes. And if you go back to number 7, Sailors of Valentine, she's 12-1 on the morning line. She debuted at the four meet last year, 2016, going 7/8, which is never an easy thing to do. She went off the 3-2 favorite that day. It was very impressive, won by 3.5 lengths. She posted a 72 buyer speed figure. And to be fair, the 72 buyer speed figure is going to put her right there in this race. She had a prep over the turf at Tampa Bay. Not sure what the angle was there. Maybe they were having a hard time getting a race to fill. She is a daughter of Mizzen Mast. Maybe they thought she'd take to the turf. And she ran second, beating a neck in an allowance race. That should have her plenty fit and tight today with a win over the track and 12-1. I think Sailor's Valentine is worth a punt.
All right, interesting, 12-1. Johnny, any long shots for you?
Not a real long shot, but I'm going to go with the 2 Elate. She got off bad the other day down at the Honey Bee and came running a little bit. And it the winner in there, It Tis Well. She, you can see she went off as the favorite that day coming out of Florida off a race of Tampa. But and the winner, It Tis Well, is in one of the favorites in the Santa Anita Oaks today. So it was it turned out to be a pretty good race, I think. She run off the sheets. She runs the best numbers by far. She's the most consistent, and if she gets a decent break today, I think she's going to be tough to beat. So I'm going to go with number 2 Elate.
Pontiff, what do you think?
Well, I think everybody mentioned the horses that I like, so no sense in going over it again.
You concur.
I concur.
I concur.
Including Sailor's Valentine. I think that's a good pick.
Yeah, and by the way, Ken McPeak, who trains Daddy's Little Darling, who Michael picked on top, has won the race on a couple of different occasions. He won it with Take Charge Lady in 2002, came back and won it with Rosalind in 2014. So he's got a pedigree that suggests he can win the Ashland right back again this year. All right, guys, the Grade 2 Bluegrass Stakes is race number 10 and an ultra-contentious field. You look at horses like McCracken and the brilliant Taprit, who set that stakes record in the Tampa Bay Derby. And then there's Practical Joke, who's a Grade 1 winner as a 2-year-old. You have J-Boy's Echo, who comes out of that monster win in the Grade 3 Gotham. Who wants to start with the Wood Memorial here, guys? Stevie?
Well, I'm going to select number 3, J-Boy's Echo, as my pick. He's
shocker.
A Kempton Bloodstock purchase for the Albar Family Stables. We were fortunate to win the race last year with Brody's Cause, and to be right back in this spot this year with another live contender. A lot of work goes into selecting these colts and a great team that we have. Got the Euros up from Naples and New York, so we got an entourage out there today. But just to talk a little bit, McCracken to me, I think is obviously the horse to beat. Everyone said how well he's working. I've not seen him in person, but glowing reports. But we have to remember the horse did miss a race and had a little setback. As Ian mentioned on the first hour, he's not cranked 110%. You know, but I think McCracken is there, and he's probably the horse to beat. Taprit made a huge move forward on the Raggers and Sheets last time when he set that stakes record in the Tampa Bay Derby. Comes back in just a little over 3 weeks, and it's very possible that Taprit could bounce slightly in this spot. And then the other horse that really, I think there's four that can win, is Practical Joke. And he's going to have to run just a little bit faster than he's been running. And I'm not sure that the extra 16th of a mile is going to be what he wants to run faster. I think that, so if I throw out Practical Joke, it leaves me with McCracken, J-Boy, is Echo, and Taprit. And with the possibility that Taprit could bounce off of that big effort last time, with McCracken having a little hiccup in his training schedule, all I can tell you is J-Boy's Echo gets better every day. And that's what you want this time of year with a three-year-old. And we are hoping it's going to be an interesting race, too, as far as tactics. There's not a lot of speed in here. And McCracken, J-Boy's Echo, and Taprit all have similar running styles. So it's going to be interesting to see who gets first run and watch this race unfold. But obviously, I'm going to make my selection to three J-Boy's Echo in what should be a fantastic Bluegrass Stakes.
Yeah, trainer Dale Roman saying he's even more confident coming into the race this year than he was when he won it with Brody's Cause a year ago.
Surprise.
Shocking that yeah. Dale Romans would be confident about one of his horses, yeah. especially on the big stage. But maybe that's a good sign. We're going to find out. Johnny, how'd you see the Bluegrass?
Well, like I say, pretty much talked about the horses, I think, that are the contenders in there. But, you know, I've seen McCracken every day, and I know what this horse can do. And whether he's cranked up or not, I think he's got the class of the bunch. Taprite was had an excellent race. Whether he's – if he runs that race back, he'll win by 100.
Yep.
There's no doubt about it. And, I mean, you know, and he might be just getting that good right now. I mean, these horses that have come out of Tampa have run awful good in the past, you know. So, of course, you look two races back, McCracken beat him a length and a half, and that was off of a long layoff too. So I'm not worried about it, the layoffs and the non-one. You know, the a lot of times these horses, like Jude mentioned earlier, they get a little break from training, they do better. And he's been here for 3 weeks, and I've seen him every day. And believe me, he looks about as good as a horse can look. So until they beat him, I'm with him.
Yeah. Strongest of the prep races today?
Bluegrass? Probably.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd say so. You know, I mean, Todd's horse was awful impressive in the Florida Derby. You know, he was really impressive. And, of course, Mastery was 100 lengths the best of all of them.
Yep.
That was a shame.
Yeah. But. Yeah. All right, Michael Hernan, obviously Taprit, a son of leading champion sire Tappet, and ultra impressive last time out in that Tampa Bay Derby win. He will face McCracken and everybody else in the Bluegrass today.
He will, Mike. He's an improving colt by Taprit. It'd be terrific to see him get to the Kentucky Derby with a good chance. I think he has a good chance here today. However, he was in receipt of £6 from McCracken when McCracken sailed past him pretty easily, I thought. And I think McCracken is the best horse in the race today. He might be the best three-year-old. He's unbeaten. He's tactical. He's talented. He can accelerate. He seems to do things pretty easily. As John said, he looks terrific, and he's breezed very well for this. I think maybe the break he was given with the ankle strain might have been a benefit to the horse. Ian Wilkes, his trainer who knows him best, pointed that out. He's bigger, he's stronger. I think he's an exciting horse. I think he'll remain undefeated here. And, I think he wins the Bluegrass and goes on to Churchill with a real live chance. He's obviously a winner twice over the track. He's got the style for the Derby. He'll have position. Looks like he'll have the capability to run the distance. Now, Taprit, I think, would be a better horse at Churchill, personally. He's improving since Todd put the blinkers on him. This horse has stepped forward every time. I don't think he had that hard a race the last day, so I don't really see him as a bounce candidate. And, you know, it's not a must-win for him. Everybody's trying to get to the big dance. I expect him to run a big race, and hopefully he'll step forward and be able to give himself a real shot and give Tappet a chance for a Kentucky Derby winner.
All right, that's the Grade 2 Toyota Bluegrass. 6:17 is the post. Our coverage begins 5:30 Eastern time. If you're just joining us, you can tune in on affiliates in Lexington, Louisville, and a different Sirius XM channel than you're listening to now. That is Sirius 113, 5:30 Eastern time this afternoon. And as always, you can stream us worldwide on your computer or mobile device at horseracingradio.net. JT, do you agree with the trio of experts here in studio that it's about the big name horses in the bluegrass today?
Yeah, I'm all in on McCracken. I think he's the best horse. He's been training good. I don't see any reason why he should lose.
All right, we're going to go ahead and get to a short break. When we come back, we'll take you to New York. We'll look at the Wood Memorial. We'll head to Santa Anita and take a look at the Santa Anita Derby. But before we do go to this break, want to remind you that our good friend Brad Green at Washington Hay Company in Georgetown has a special going on just for the Keeneland meet. So those of you looking for that high-quality three-tie hay, this is pretty cool. If you buy 10 bales, you're going to get one bale free. And it's a one-time offer, so you call Brad, you get 10 bales, you're going to get a free bale throughout Keeneland. And here's his number, 859-588-5480. That's 859-588-5480, the number for Brad Green, Washington Hay. Buy 10, get one free. Pretty cool deal for those of you tuning in and wanting some high-quality hay throughout the month of April, basically throughout the Keeneland meet. We're back to look at the Wood and the Santa Anita Derby. That's next on the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, your home for the Kentucky Derby and Triple Crown.
Power.
But Tapazar is just playing too good today, and it's going to be Tapazar and Garrett Gomez coming home with his ears pricked to win the Sham Stakes.
Passion.
And a big performance from Tapazar and Cory Nakatani as they romp in the San Fernando.
Performance.
And Tapazar, a sterling performance today. Tapazar and Cory Nakatani take the dirt mile.
Gainsway stallion Tapazar is a Grade 1 winning miler by leading sire Tappet from the family of champion Untappable, and is Tappet's only Grade 1 winning miler at stud. Tapazar retired sound with more than $972,000 in earnings following a career in which he broke his maiden by 10.5 lengths at Churchill Downs at 2, went wire to wire to win the Grade 3 Sham Stakes at 3, and was a runaway winner of the Grade 2 San Fernando and Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Dirt Mile at 4.
Power, passion, performance. You know I'm talking about Gainsway Farm.
Jimmy John's World's Greatest Gourmet Sandwiches, Ed speaking.
Yes, I need a sandwich delivery right away.
What kind of sandwich?
I don't care. Just get it to 215 Elm Street right now.
I'm on my way!
Jimmy John's.
Thanks for getting here so fast.
You're welcome, sir. Here's your sandwich. By the way, did you know your house is on fire?
That's why I called Jimmy John's.
Fire makes you hungry?
No, I knew you'd get here fast. Grab a bucket.
We're going to need more than two guys, sir.
You're right. What do we do?
Leave it to me, sir.
Hello?
Hello, boss? Send everyone you got to 215 Elm.
Okay.
Doesn't matter what kind of sandwich, sir. I'll explain later.
Right.
Thank you, sir.
Jimmy John's. Come in.
Sir, did you know your house is on fire?
Yes, I did. Grab a bucket.
Jimmy John's.
Come in.
Sir, did you know your house is on fire?
Yes, I did. Grab a bucket.
Jimmy John's.
Come in.
Sir, did you know?
Yes, I did. Grab a bucket.
Jimmy John's.
Come in.
Sir, did you?
Yes, I did. Grab a bucket.
Fire department.
Come in.
Sir, did you know your...
It's okay, Captain. We got it handled. Care for a sandwich?
Thanks, but tell me something.
Shoot.
Why didn't you call the fire department first?
I did.
Jimmy John's. Exceptional delivery. Order online at jimmyjohns.com. Lexus. Once driven, there's no going back. Through inspired design, relentless innovation, and uninhibited performance, Lexus continues their pursuit to perfection with not only precisely engineered automobiles, but powerful, profound, and passionate experiences that move you like never before. Hey everyone, Mike Pena here, and extremely proud to say that I am a Lexus owner, or better yet, a member of the Lexus family at the Lexus store of Lexington. I've told you for more than a decade that the people make the difference at the Lexus store, and that is why I am so proud to be their customer and a member of their family. If you're in the horse business, there's no reason to look anywhere else. As the sponsor of the Grade 2 Lexus Raven Run at Keeneland every fall, the team at the Lexus store of Lexington is committed to supporting the horse industry and to being the dealership of the equine industry here in Central Kentucky. See for yourself. Stop in and talk horse racing with the godfather, Tony Attiano, and all the great folks at the Lexus store of Lexington. And I promise you will love your Lexus
experience.
When it's time to paint the fences and barns, think Farm Paint. At Farm Paint, you get the industry's best coatings and paints factory direct at low, low prices. Farm Paint is your source for quality paints, roof coatings, dustless arena footings, and more. You can purchase online or drop into a Farm Paint store near you with locations in Heart of Bluegrass Country at 700 Phillips Lane in Lexington, Kentucky, Columbus, Ohio, and Sandusky, Ohio. Buy factory direct and save at farmpaint.com. That's farmpaint.com.
Pin Oak Stud, home to Broken Vow, sire of 2016 Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Juvenile Fillies winner and Eclipse finalist Champagne Room, as well as other Grade 1 winners like Cotton Blossom, Unbridled Belle, Rosalind, and Sassy Image. Also home to millionaire and multiple graded stakes winner Alternation by Distorted Humor, a six-time stakes winner, including the Peter Pan, Pimlico Special, and Oaklawn Handicap. Alternation was represented by his first yearlings, which sold last year for up to $160,000, over 20 times his stud fee. Broken Vow and Alternation, standing at Pin Oak Stud.
Hello, this is Bill Mott. You're listening to Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network. This freaky fast performance is brought to you by your Lexington, Kentucky area Jimmy Johns.
Lively one making no impression as they turn for home. And it's the filly Willing Colors. Gary Stevens going to the whip left-hander. Just one crack, though. It's Willing Colors turning in an absolutely outstanding performance. We're looking at one exceptional filly who'll be carrying the hopes of California all the way to the Kentucky Derby. What a winner that one was. Willing Colors, magnificent.
Winning Colors, magnificent in victory indeed. That was back in the 1988 Santa Anita Derby, a great trip down memory lane. It was the first of nine victories in the race for Hall of Fame jockey Gary Stevens, and he is back on another comeback later today in the Santa Anita Derby. He'll be aboard the ultra-talented Royal Mo for trainer John Sheriffs. And you're going to hear from John Sheriffs during our coverage of the races later this afternoon, beginning at 5:30 Eastern. Stay tuned for that interview. Mike Penajudefeld back with our guest handicappers, Michael Hernan from Gainesway Farm, John Gasper, Stevie Castagnola. We are set now to go down the road to the Kentucky Derby, presented by Gainesway. And in this segment, we're going to look at the Wood Memorial, and we're going to look at that Santa Anita Derby. Guys, I guess we'll start in New York. We'll stick with the East Coast time for now. Mile and an eighth. The Wood Memorial is a Grade 2. It is presented by Naira Betts, and it carries a purse of $750,000 in a somewhat interesting field. Johnny, you want to go first?
I think it is interesting, and the fact that there's a couple of horses in here that, you know, kind of stubbed their toe last time. Irish War Cry, of course, being, you know, he was all several of these guys' number one after he won the Fountain of Youth and the Holy Bull, and then, you know, stubbed his toe badly. I never did hear if there's been any really excuse. He's come back and trained very well at Fairhill. He'll be one, you know, an interesting horse to see if that was just a fluke or what happened there. That was he didn't get the lead that day, and in his two previous races, you know, he was on the lead and kind of had it his own way. And then Motown. Tony Dutrow is the trainer there. Tony told me, he said, Johnny Velasquez, who jumps off of Motown onto Battalion Runner for Todd in that race, but he just struggled the whole way around there last time. So, he obviously won the Remsen over Aqueduct last fall at a mile and an eighth. So we know that that's not a problem. So it's kind of interesting to see. And Tony's told me since that time the horse has trained great. So we'll see, you know, hopefully he'll run a much, much better race for him today. And wouldn't surprise me if he was the winner. I think that the other two competitors in here would be maybe Battalion Runner, who's kind of a up-and-coming kind of horse and hasn't run in any stakes races, but he's had a couple of really good races his last two starts, and Cloud Computing for Chad. And he was a good second last time to J-Boy's Echo and the Gotham, and that was only his second start, so you would think he would improve off of that. But again, I kind of hope Motown shows his stuff today and kind of puts him back in the game, so to speak.
And you're right, John. I mean, with Motown, a horse, when he won the Remsen last year, was very impressive, enough to draw the attention of Coolmore and the partners, who bought a significant interest in him. So Motown obviously looking to rebound. Irish War Cry, I think a lot was said of Joel Rosario's ride last time. You know, he did find himself on the lead in the Holy Bull, but I think the intention in the Fountain of Youth was actually to take him back and to get him to relax, and he was up there pressing the pace. But that's no excuse to be beaten 21 lengths, and it's hard to endorse a horse that's coming off a performance like that. You know, I'll take the lightly raced Cloud Computing, number 7, simply for the fact he ran second to J-Boy's Echo last time. But, you know, he broke his maiden sprinting. That was his first time going two turns in the Gotham, a mile and a 16th. He's by McLean's Music, who was a very fast son of Distorted Humor, but he's out of an AP Indy mare. And if he can get the distance, I see no reason why Cloud Computing won't win. Battalion Run is going to be your favorite. I just wasn't that impressed with his race last time. They took the conservative approach and ran him in an allowance race, and he was 1-5 that day. And yeah, he won by a length and a half, but he was kind of all out to do it, and I just wasn't thrilled with the effort of Battalion Runner. Thought he'd be a little more flashier in his win against actually beat Beasley, who came back to run a clunker down in Florida in, I believe, the Florida Derby. So Cloud Computing for me in the Wood Memorial.
All right, Michael Hernan, how'd you see it?
I see it pretty much similar to the guys here. I think it's the outside two horses are going to be the ones around at the finish. Cloud Computing, I thought, ran an excellent race, first time two turns, just his second run in his career, ran a great race in the Gotham, and, you know, we think he was beaten by a good horse in J-Boy's Echo, but I could see this horse moving forward today. He'd be very competitive. And then the bottom horse, Irish War Cry, you've got to throw that last race out. I don't think anybody could explain it, including Graham Motion. The horse is trained well. He's doing well. He looks like, you know, he could stalk and close. He did that. He came from well back in his maiden at Laurel. So I don't think he has to be right there on the lead. I wouldn't expect that he would be. So it'll come down, I think, between these two, and we'll see how they battle it out. I think it could be close. Might give the edge to Irish War Cry today.
All right, Irish War Cry, Rajiv Miraj, you heard that interview with him in the first half of the program. He'll be aboard Irish War Cry for the very first time for Graham Motion. JT?
Well, I'm with Stevie on Cloud Computing. I think he's got a big chance. You know, I threw out Irish War Cry in Motown. Those horses ran terrible. How are they going to win the Kentucky Derby? I'm sorry. I can't forgive either one. I thought they both went off as the favorite. They got creamed. I mean, sometimes we make it harder than it is. A horse that I like, kind of a long shot, is Stretch of Stone, a New York bred. They nominated him late to the Kentucky Derby, to the Triple Crown. He's got some good speed figures. He's going to be a huge number, and he might run really good in there. Good addition to your trifectas.
You know, you just realized that you put Irish War Cry and Motown in a cold exacta together today in the Wood Memorial.
Hey, right? If that happens, I'm more than happy to lose my money because I wouldn't bet 2 cents on either one of them.
All right, well, the Santa Anita Derby is the big race in California. $1 million on the line. It will go at 7:12 Eastern. That's 4:12 Pacific time. Mile and an eighth in the biggest field of the three Derby preps today with a field of 13. As a matter of fact, it's the biggest Santa Anita Derby field since 1981. Johnny Gasper, you want to go first?
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up because I was wondering how long it'd been, because usually you end up with five or six horses in there, yeah. You know, or a very short field. But I'm going to listening to Doug O'Neill's interview in the first hour of his four horses, I kind of like Iliad the best. He seems to be a little bit more consistent like say, Mastery beat him six lengths, but Mastery's going to beat them all six lengths. So I think that Battle of Midway, I always Hollendorfer always scares me. I mean, he just seems to do the right thing at the right time, and I think that I'm going to give him a chance. And he won his only two-turn race, his last start at Santa Anita. So But I think Iliad's the horse to beat, but I think Battle of Midway will be some heard from also in that race.
All right. The Santa Anita Derby has produced 17 Kentucky Derby winners, the last to win both. Well, you don't have to go that far back. It was California Chrome in 2014. Stevie?
Well, it is wide open, and can't fault John's selection of Iliad. Mastery was probably head and shoulders above any three-year-old that we've seen so far, and obviously disappointing with his injury. So, as John said, any horse can get within six lengths of him probably deserves a shot in this heat. John liked Battle of Midway. I'm going to take the other horse that came out of the same race on the 9th of March, and that's Reach the World. If I'm struggling for a pick in a Santa Anita Derby, I'm going to go look for a Bob Baffert horse. And I find Mike Smith climbing aboard Reach the World. It's his fourth lifetime start. All three previous races have been over a route of ground, two turns. He broke his maiden two back on the 4th of February, going wire to wire to win by 3.5 lengths. And last time in the allowance race, he found himself a little further back. He was 6 or 7 lengths off of him going down the back stretch. He, the comment line says, waited at the 5/16 and willingly, and he did have some traffic trouble. He arguably was the best horse that day. He galloped out very strong, and in a wide open race, why not take Bob Baffert and Mike Smith at 5-1?
All right, yeah, why not? And Bob Baffert has won the race 7 times, so nobody better than Bob in the Santa Anita Derby. Michael Hernan, what do you think?
Interesting point here is what a big day potentially for Edina Springs Stallion Ghost Zapper. It's got McCracken, Paula Silver Lining, and Iliad, you know, so they're obviously very excited over there and wish him the best of luck. I'm going to go with our partner in Empire Maker, Don Alberto Stable, who won't reach the world. Thought this horse ran really a top race last time. He had real trouble going into the far turn. You'll see the line where it says he waited at the 5/16 pole. He certainly did. He's young. He's inexperienced. It was just his third run. It was at Santa Anita. He's a big, rangy horse. He's out of a Galileo mare, so he's going to stay all day. And I think he can take the distance will help him. The experience will help him. You know, we've got Mike Smith staying with the horse, so that's a big endorsement. He fired a bullet the other day. I think he's improving, and if he just has a bit more luck in running, maybe he'll make up for the disappointing loss temporarily of Unique Bella by Tappet for Don Alberto and give them a runner in the Kentucky Derby. So I'm going to go with the two horse, Reach the World.
All right, good pick. Ponte for the pick four, what do you think?
Well, I got to go with Iliad. I like him. I like the way Doug talked about him. He said his work the other day was outstanding, and he's a nice horse. I think running second to Mastery is a good thing. I think it was his first race around two turns, and he can move up off that effort. He's obviously got a lot of talent, so that's where I'm going to go.
All right, we asked a poll question today. The poll question was, are you going to see the Kentucky Derby winner running today? And if yes, tell us who it is. Well, so far, yes has dominated the voting, 69% to 31%. And you can weigh in at HRRN on Twitter. So one thing's for sure, HRRN Nation thinking that we do see the Derby winner today in one of these three major Kentucky Derby preps. Again, our coverage, 5:30 Eastern, Sirius 113. Affiliates in Lexington and Louisville and worldwide at horseracingradio.net. Guys, been a lot of fun as always. Stevie, all the best today. Michael, all the best today. And Johnny, good luck. Go get it done.
All right. Just remember one thing. The less you bet, the more you lose when you win.
Stevie, parting shot.
Be a great day, a fantastic card, beautiful weather. Come on out there and whip. Don't forget to get to the ATM show parlay.
Michael, great to have you back in studio, my friend. Good to see you.
Good to be here. Nice to see you. Good show. Looking for a great day of racing, and best of luck to all the listeners out there, and hopefully they'll enjoy it and be profitable.
Yeah, I know you won't say it, so I'll say it for you. Go Taprit. There you go. Well, look, we're back this afternoon, 5:30 Eastern. A lot of things to get to when we come back. You're going to hear coverage of the three Derby preps. You'll hear the Ashland as well mixed into that. Our good friend Anthony Stabile, the Big A, will join us from New York. Jeff Bloom was going to join us at Santa Anita, but he spiked a fever, had to be scratched. He is out with the flu, will not be at the races today.
Oh, that's unfortunate.
Yeah, get well soon, Jeff Bloom. All right, Pontiff, good show. Got a chance to talk to several major players along the road to the Kentucky Derby, including trainer Doug O'Neill. Our thanks to Ian Wilkes for being with us, and jockey Raji Mirage, and, of course, our three guest handicappers here in the second half of the show. Michael Hernan from Gainsway Farm, Johnny Gasper, and Steve Castagnola. Again, 5:30 Eastern, the time for our broadcast later today. If you missed any portion of the show, head to our website, horseracingradio.net, and check out the podcast. We're off to Keeneland, JT.
Yeah, looking forward to it.
All right, thanks for listening, everybody. For our producer, Lee Delapina, for Chauncey, Sean C., handling all of our social media, we certainly appreciate all their help. For Jude Feld, I'm Mike Penna. We'll talk to you next time here on HRRN. Go Steelers and go Phil.
Good night, Barbados.